Welcome to the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast, the show for business owners in their 40s and 50s who deeply desire a business that serves the market strong and who also deeply desire to finish strong personally. I'm your host, Scott Kochenour, and I'm glad that you're listening here today. This is a really cool episode that you're listening to because I'm speaking with someone called Mary Rapaport. She's the creator of Strategic Playground Workshop and the Chief Acceleration Officer at Accelerate. I'll put the link to her website in the show notes for sure. Mary brings over two decades of expertise in organizational transformations, change initiatives, and brand strategy and learning strategy. She is all about strategy. With a proven track record in transforming organizations to align strategically with company goals, Mary has talent for helping others develop their strategic thinking, and her knack for creating immersive learning experiences leads to those transformative aha moments that unlock full potential of individuals and teams. Her credentials include an MBA in marketing, a BA in international business and French, and certificates in scenario planning and strategic pricing. She's a certified leadership and sales trainer, offering comprehensive programs for professionals at all levels. She serves as the president of the Twin Cities chapter of the Association of Talent Development, driving growth and development in the talent development community. She's also the visionary founder of what is called the Minority Business Growth Alliance, dedicated to empowering BIPOC entrepreneurs. Mary and I will get into the conversation, and what I want you to be listening for are basically four points that we cover as it relates to being more strategic. Why are we talking strategy? Well, because going into your fourth quarter and maybe creating option strategies for stepping away from your business is going to require the right strategic mindset. We're going to be talking about how we tend to default to execution and we need to be more future focused. We're going to talk about the importance of an ecosystem, not only for your organization, but your entire life, your personal life. We're going to talk about the importance of having an outside perspective. And then finally, we'll be talking about the importance of being adaptive and how important it is that you realize that strategy is iteration. This is a great topic, so I'll stop talking about it and let's get right into the conversation. Mary, welcome to the show. I am really glad that you're here.
I'm excited too. This is a fun topic.
You and I have worked together on some things and you are neck deep in strategy, which is really exciting for me because that's the way I think. This is the way I think everyone ought to have a strategy for their life. And so we're going to jump right into it, go into the deep end. Okay. So, with your deep experience in organizational transformations and strategic alignment, I want to see what parallels do you see between companies that align their goals with their individuals and the whole strategic planning and someone who is over 50 aligning their life strategies for a fulfilling fourth quarter. Is there any overlap or is there any parallel?
Yeah, I think there certainly is. I think when you are a strategic thinker or you get into a strategic mindset, it doesn't just stop at the corporate door. I know that I tend to think about my life, my future, what I want to accomplish, how happy I am in doing that, the progress that I've made. And so I do a lot of reflection and analysis, which is part of what you do when you're developing strategy or you're creating that strategic mindset. And you can bring that to your future. And so once I've reflected, I try to work on, okay, where are the issues that I want to focus on? And what do I want this to look like? And then I build a plan or at least start chipping away at some of those pieces that really aren't working for me. And, you know, it's a constant refinement. You have a strategy and you learn more, something new happens, you react, you adjust. But I think there's a lot of parallels with how people maybe approach their thoughts about how they want to work in their fourth quarter.
I know business owners, they're strategic in their approach most of the time. Those who aren't as successful. You do help create strategy within a business. I'm wondering if there are specific mindsets or mindset shifts that a person needs to adopt to be more strategic. Do you notice that a hurdle that people, or maybe it's not mindset, what are some things that a person needs to overcome to be more strategic?
Well, this is what I talk about all the time. And I'm presenting and speaking a lot about this because we find ourselves today kind of on that hamster wheel, that treadmill that we just keep going. We just keep going. We react to the next thing. And a lot of people want to create a strategic mindset for themselves or for their teams. And it really is a challenge. And so we spend some time thinking about what does it mean to have a strategic mindset? What does that look like? And so there's some key characteristics that indicate that you are thinking from a strategic place, or you're at least prepared to think from a strategic place. And the first thing is that you're thinking about the future. It's really easy to think about the past. There's a lot of things we reflect on that can take up our energy. We can be very present-centered, which sounds like a good thing. But if we're, again, just on that hamster wheel, it's maybe not doing the best thing that it could do for us. So being future-focused is really a really important element of being in a strategic mindset. The other thinking is really systems thinking. So are you thinking about your ecosystem, your environment, the people around you, the things that make you happy? Is there a holistic perspective of how all those things fit together? And in adjusting one, how that could impact the other? So systems thinking is kind of the second hallmark of strategic mindset. The third is an outside-in perspective. We spend a lot of time inside our heads, inside our businesses, inside our little environments, and we can forget that our perspectives maybe aren't considering how things look like from the outside. So bringing in data, thinking about what is that data really telling us? And data can be feedback. It can be actual research. It can be a lot of things. But being open and encouraging that external input is really key to developing a strategic mindset. And then there's one more thing. That's really being adaptive, reacting and responding to anything change that, you know, any change that really is significant or that you feel like, oh, when I made this decision or I came to this place, this wasn't a factor. And now something's changing and I ought to really consider what does that mean? So not getting locked in your ways, but really being able to be flexible and take in new information and make adjustments. So those are really key things for developing a strategic mindset. And if you're feeling like you're thinking like that a lot, well, then you're probably a person who likes to or naturally has a strategic mindset.
Wow, that is a mouthful. You know, I've listed these in my notes. There are 4 points, and I almost kind of want to go back over those. This is a fantastic list. Future focused is the first one. You mentioned a hamster wheel, and I think a lot of our listeners will identify with that picture. You know, they're busy, they're successful. They're successful because they're busy. They're busy because they're successful. And there are a lot of irons in the fire. There are a lot of fires to put out. I could throw a bunch of metaphors out there. But I think the idea is we are so caught up in the busyness of business.
Yeah, that's true. And that's not strategic, actually. And you're probably not successful because you're busy. It's really a red herring. And we, as humans, you know, strategic thinking or long-range planning, that's pretty abstract. And we don't like to go there because it's intangible. We don't feel necessarily confident or safe. It's not a certainty. So what we tend to do is we go back to execution. We go back to our to-do lists. We go back to our inbox, and we feel really great if by the end of the day, we've got three emails instead of like 300 emails, and then we go, okay, that's great. I did a lot today, but you know, did you really? So there's a real pressure on us that we put on us, that society puts on us for production of activity versus production of thought. And so when you are in the moment of being strategic, you're really in the moment of reflection, imagination, creativity. None of that has anything to do with getting things done. Not that it's not important, but I really believe that the focus of where we spend our time in corporate America, in our own business, is really on just that constant, got to get things done, got to check that off my list. And if we don't make time to sit back and just think and imagine and be creative and look around at what's happening, we're just really going to just stay on that wheel. And I don't think that's very satisfying. I know it's not very satisfying for me. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that for listeners out there, they're probably going, yeah, I remember when I had this really great aha moment. Gosh, that's been a while. I'd love to get back there. But if you're constantly doing things and you're constantly busy, there's no space for an aha moment. So it's really important just to stop and think.
So number one on future focused is the takeaway is to find a time to be creative.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, I was talking to a client just this past week about calendar versus to-do list. And how different they are and how easy it is to push something down the road on a to-do list. But when you've made an appointment with somebody on your calendar, think of the intrinsic motivation to be there, right? Yeah. For most of us. And so let's take a page out of that playbook. And in order to create a more future-focused mindset, why don't you just set an appointment with yourself, a reoccurring Friday from 2 to 4, or a reoccurring second and third Tuesday, from 8 to 9,
yeah.
just to pull away.
That's brilliant.
Give yourself the space. The email will be there. What I like about that idea is that it doesn't take away from the execution and putting out fires. It just delays it. You're just creating a buffer around yourself for a period of time, you know?
Right.
And nothing's going to fall apart fatally. I mean, the chances of something happening that you have to address that is fatal to your company in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Even if you allow for the 911 text from your key administrative assistant, cut off everything else and carve out time to be, because you have to be future focused. And when we're talking about strategic planning for your fourth quarter, you cannot wait until you have everything buttoned up at work to strategize against regret.
That's really true. And I was presenting yesterday, and one of the participants raised their hand and said, but my calendar is filled. Like, I'm in meetings all day. I've got things to do. When do I have time for this? And I went back and I challenged him. I said, who is in charge of your calendar? Mm-hmm. Who said you're not in charge of your calendar? Mm-hmm. You own this. And the other part about that is if you can take some time to think and to look at what you're doing from a systems perspective, you're often going to find that you have the space to go, gosh, why? Let's start with, why am I in so many dang meetings?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I answering so many darn emails? Think about that as a first step of strategic thinking and reflection, because when you can get yourself into that mind space, we're talking about kind of the second point, which is systems thinking. Mm-hmm. You're starting to think about, hey, why don't I have time to put myself in a strategic mindset? Well, probably the system that I created around me for the way that I work, the way that I operate, is really reinforcing that constraint on me. And so how could I rebuild the way that I'm approaching work and my relationship with constant activity to give myself that time to really think about the future, think about systemic issues that are causing me to firefight. There are reasons that you're so busy. Think about that as a start. If you're uncomfortable thinking about the future and you think that's maybe too abstract, think about, why do I not have time? Yeah. And spend an hour doing that. And I bet there'll be some really great systematic fixes you can bring that you wouldn't have thought of otherwise.
That's fantastic. And before we go into systems thinking, which I want to go into, one last thing that might help is if you're looking at an already full calendar. Mary, you're right on. Number one, if I'm the owner of my business, I can do stuff with my calendar, right? But even if you don't feel like you can, then I suggest going forward 4 weeks out, because it's likely that all of these meetings you see are meetings right now in the moment. Right. Go out 4 weeks. Your calendar is likely opened up a bit. That's where you put these big rocks in your calendar. Do those and then come back and just do business as usual. And then when that thing comes up, or if someone says, hey, can we meet, you know, 2 weeks from now on Tuesday at 8 a.m., you can take a look at your calendar and say, oh, no, I can't, but I could meet on at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. All right. Now you're pushing the water around that rock that you just put in, and you did it in an area at a time in your calendar where there's less there. So maybe pre-plan.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Systems thinking. I love the word ecosystem. Every listener to this podcast right now represents a personal ecosystem. And if you stayed with me long enough, you understand the six hallmarks of a fantastic fourth quarter. Let me list them real quickly because it feeds into this systems thinking. Start off with being spiritually anchored. You know, do you know your meaning, your purpose, what your why? And then you move up to financial or physically fit. That's another, all your physical health, and also not just your physical health, but your physical surroundings, what you drive, the shape of your home, where you live, all that kind of stuff. That's your physical fitness. And then you move over to being relationally rich, the relationships that you have in your life. And then you move over to being emotionally healthy. You know, how self-aware and others aware are you? And how are you feeding your mind and growing? And then you move down to vocational alignment. Are you aligned vocationally? And when I say vocation, I don't mean what you do for a W-2 or a 1099, but what you do with your energy and your time and your focus, your interest. And then finally, financially free is the last one. And that has to do with your estate planning, your debt savings buffer, all that retirement fund and all that kind of stuff. So those are six hallmarks: spiritual, physical, relational, emotional, vocational, and financial. That's an ecosystem. Every one of those systems does its own thing, but if one suffers, the others are impacted. A lot like the systems in our body. Our bodies are an ecosystem. If I'm tired, then it's going to affect my blood flow. If I have too much sugar in my body, I'm going to deal with inflammation, and that's going to make me irritable. You know, and so just the same, there's an ecosystem to your strategy. So I love this number two, systems thinking, right? So when we think about systems thinking, what trips us up? What advice would you give us, Mary, the owner of the Strategic Playground Workshop? How can I be more strategic?
Yeah. What I see happening is that we think that we are in sort of control of our own little universe, and we just stay in our own little universe, and we don't realize how many things that we do we have, if not impact, the potential to impact. And so often in business, what I'll talk about is, you know, start thinking about the other individuals, other stakeholders, and you could do this in your personal life, or you could do this in your business life. If you were to think about a project or an initiative or a goal differently, what impact could that have on other stakeholders in your ecosystems or other parts of your ecosystem? What if you not just change the goal or change the scope? What if you did that work or approached that challenge differently? would that difference of approach have a bigger impact and impact different aspects of your ecosystem? So in a business, an ecosystem is all of the functions and all of the departments and all of the leaders that you work with and work around you. In our lives, it can be our family. It can be those different factors that you just mentioned. I can have my own ecosystem of health and finance and vocation. And if I make a decision or take a certain approach to one, knowing that that's going to have an impact on those others is really, really valuable. And being conscious of that as you make a choice or you make an approach, that's the strategic thinking part about it. That's the conscious understanding that an impact here will have an impact there, and really trying to fine-tune that machine so that you're getting the maximum positive impact from it without overwhelming yourself. Because you can say, I'm going to do something in every aspect of those things all at once, and that's probably unrealistic and overwhelming. But really just picking a few and trying to find some synergies there and knowing that you can have that impact, that delivers a lot of value and you go a lot farther.
It seems like if we can come to grips with the fact that impact is inevitable, a lot like in leadership, influence is inevitable. There's no on-off switch to leadership and influence. You can't decide not to influence. You do. As a business owner or founder, everything you do influences. You can't just say, oh, okay, it's Friday afternoon, I can do whatever I want. I'm not going to influence my team or my business. Same thing with the impact on a systems thinking. We can't do one thing and have it not affect other areas.
Yeah.
I think coming to terms with that, for every yes, there is a no. The whole concept of trade-offs. You know, if I do this, it's going to impact that. If I were to pay off this debt, then that frees up some mind space over here. And so there's an emotional impact to your financial decisions. There is a relational impact to your spiritual decisions. There's a physical impact to your vocational decisions. It is all ecosystem. And to think that you can change one area and not have it impact others, really, I think what you're saying in systems thinking and ecosystem is that you're thinking wrong. You've got to understand every decision, every goal, everything that you plan to do. Even if you fail to plan, that itself is a plan, and it's going to impact more areas than you think.
Right. And developing a strategic mindset means that you're conscious of those connections and you're conscious in making decisions of those connections. And I'm all for occasional focus. And frankly, I'm guilty of over-focus, but it's hard to hold that space for yourself all the time. But being able, when you over-focus, like maybe you over-focus on the physical and then you're like, oh no, what have I done? Right. I just did a 90-minute workout and I'm crushed and I cannot do what I wanted to do this other area.
Injury.
Right. It's just being able to kind of know that and check in and say, okay, I'm going to think about that differently. And I wasn't necessarily in, that wasn't the most strategic thing I could have done.
I have an illustration just from this week with a client that I could share that would bear this. He came to me into the session and said, I'm thinking about doing X. And so what we did, and this particular client is into the third year of his second 5-year plan with me. So we have our bearings. We pretty much know where we're headed. But even so, he was thinking about doing X, and I wish I could share X, but I, you know, the confidentiality. However, let's just for sake of argument, it was something that was difficult for him to do based on his nature of how he approaches life. And yet he felt like it was the right thing to do. Well, to give context to that decision, we just revisited every one of his aspirations that he's working on. And it became a filter. You know, if I do this, how's it going to affect this aspiration? If I do this, how's it going to affect my second aspiration? And so on. And what came out of that conversation was, first of all, he regained agency. Because before, it was like, I don't feel like I'm in control of this situation. I don't know how to handle it. And that's non-strategic. You know, right. When you don't have agency, you are not being strategic. When you have agency, which I define as having options and choice, the way to get that options and choice is step back from what you're trying to do. Step back. And that's what you're telling us. A systems thinking, an ecosystem requires that we look at more than one thing. And the only way to look at more than one thing is to go up out of it. Like a quarterback talks to his offensive coordinator. So the offensive coordinator can see the entire field. All the quarterback can see is the horizontal view of the play by play. And so that helped him because it gave him, we walked out of that session with him having a plan.
Well, I love the talk about agency when you talk about strategic thinking, because when I talk about this and when I teach this, I almost always hear this sort of the other side of it, like, but I can't, but I'm too busy, but my boss. And my challenge is always, you know, choose to identify where you have agency and exercise it. And you and I, in our coaching sessions, have talked about agency. And that has been one of the most liberating and energizing pieces to remember that I have. And even in particular difficult situations, is to really revisit, you know, not having agency does mean you don't have a strategic mindset. And it's really uncomfortable. And I don't, you know, when I can move into agency and embrace that, even though, you know, it might be one hard choice versus another hard choice, I am making the choice. That's a lot better place to be.
That's right. That's right. And for those who, you know, the word agency is new, because sometimes I'll come across, I'll be talking about agency and they're going, is this a firm? Are you talking about a company? No. I used to use the word control, lack of control or being in control, but recent events in the world have just kind of made control a just, you know, we're just so out of control in most of the time, you know, so much can happen. What I mean by agency is that we feel like we are no longer at the mercy of circumstances or other people's decisions. We feel like we have choice. We can choose to do something. And that is paramount to being strategic.
Yeah.
It is a sense of control, because you can, for example, doggone it, my calendar for the next month is completely packed. We'll go out the next month when it's not so packed and put something in there. That is regaining agency. You may not have agency for the next month because you're just flying with everything that has taken place. And by the way, we take our own agency away by what we say yes to. You know, there's this whole concept of spinning plates. You know, we are all spinning a number of plates, and we can only spin so many plates before they start wobbling and crashing to the ground, because our time and our energy are limited. And when we start spinning more plates, we'll say yes to so much. And then we say, how do I get here? How did I get here? Well, you just need to back out of some of those things.
Yeah.
That is agency. So let's move to the third one, outside perspective.
Yeah. Outside perspective. That if you are willing to invite things that are not in your little ecosystem and bubble today to bring in to how you see that system and how you see that working, you almost always get a new opportunity. But I'm an optimist. I'm a very optimistic person, and I like to see the upside of even tough things that happen. So I always look at the gift that and that external information really delivers. So if I'm open and curious and I want to learn and I want to see, what have I not seen? What's right in front of me that I am so used to looking at that I cannot see it, where if I did, it would open up a big possibility for me? Or what's going on that I'm not realizing that if I don't know to address is going to pose a challenge for me, or is going to put something that I want to accomplish at risk? And so having those assumptions that there is always something that you have to see that you cannot see today. There is always something right now for each one of us that we should know. And if we did, we would really be able to be more successful by taking that perspective or that information into consideration. And the other side of that, it's also, you know, what kind of assumptions and biases are preventing us from getting that realistic or other, at least let's call it other, point of view or opportunity. Like if we are already deciding that, you know, we've had a lot of success, this is the way we've had success, we built our business because we were quick responders or top shelf, you know, white glove service or something that's really been the hallmark of success, that can be an assumption that blinds us to seeing, well, maybe something's going on out there that customers don't even really care about all that extra that you're giving them and you're spending time and that you could spend elsewhere. Or maybe customers are wanting something different. Maybe your team is shifting in what it can do or the capabilities that it can provide. So taking a look at where you've locked in on your assumptions or maybe created even some biases, that's a really good signal to say, hey, maybe there's some new data and information and points of view that need to come in here so that I'm seeing that thing that I need to see that I absolutely can't see today. So that's what I mean when I think about thinking about data and getting an external point of view.
An external point of view. I think you know my story. Some of the people who have listened to me heard me tell my story about losing our business after 44 years. And if you'd like to email me, coach@servingstrong.com, and say, tell me more about your failure. I would love to tell you about my failure. I'm so far on the other side of it that I believe that it is a cautionary tale. The reason I mentioned that is because going back to that moment in life, I remember pulling the book by Jim Collins. Everybody knows Jim Collins wrote Good to Great, right? Well, there's a sequel, another book he wrote called How the Mighty Fall, because apparently not all the great ones stayed great. And oh my word, it was like our family business. It was like he followed us and then wrote the book. The first step that I want to point out, the first stage of decline is what's called hubris born of success. This feeling like, you know, we are successful, therefore we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it insulates you from this very thing that we're talking about, having an outside perspective, the point number three that you're pointing out. And then that's where assumptions and biases grow.
Absolutely.
A key takeaway, especially as, you know, this is great for business. This is a fantastic conversation for business. As you also think about your fourth quarter, you know, look, we're trying to reduce regret, eliminate regret, looking back on a life where you really, really had a fantastic fourth quarter, because it is going to be the best quarter of your life. Everything points in that direction. Don't worry about your decline. We get this thinking that going into the fourth quarter, we're done. We're going to let the young people take over. We're just going to kind of fade off. And no. There's a whole different curve. You know, I've seen people do startups. I know somebody who's starting a coffee shop at age 71. I talked with a 75-year-old CEO of a business centered around a children's book. I'm currently working with a client who's 68, plans to get married before she's 71, doing fantastic stuff. So I get off on a tangent with that because it's such a misnomer that aging is equivalent with decline. So when you're thinking about strategizing your fourth quarter, don't assume anything. Prove yourself wrong. Whatever it is you believe, make a case against what you believe, because one of two things is going to come out of that. You're going to either determine that, yes, you were wrong, which the sooner we know the evils that are brewing, the more options we have, right? But if for want of such knowledge they're allowed to grow, no more remedy can be found. That's a Machiavellian quote. The sooner we know the evils, the more options we have. Talk about agency. So prove yourself wrong. You either prove that you really are wrong, or it entrenches you into your belief that what you're doing is, yes, actually is the right thing to be doing. So it actually fuels your commitment to what you believe. So assumption questioned turns into either a change or a deepening of belief.
Or an opportunity.
Oh, an opportunity. Absolutely. And yeah. Isn't that what strategic planning is all about? Is positioning yourself to take advantage of opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Okay. So we just told all the listeners they could be wrong.
Well, I know I am often, so I'm in good company, I'm sure.
That's true. That's true. So let's move on to the fourth and final that you mentioned, which remind me what you're talking about. We've talked about the idea of systems thinking and all that. What's that final part?
Yeah, the fifth one is really, it has a lot to do with what you just talked about, which is reacting and responding when something changes. And it doesn't mean, okay, blow it all up because now something, you know, now I've got to shift for every single time the wind blows. That's not what it means. Mm-hmm. The, you know, strategic thinkers and people who put themselves in a strategic mindset can discern what is a change that's an obstacle to overcome, and what's a change that has dramatically shifted the ground you're standing on. And not only the ground you're standing on, but also what is in front of you and what are possibilities. So being adaptable, being able to react and respond to new information, that's a critical piece of developing and having a strategic mindset, because there's possibility every single day. It is no fun to bake your own strategy and then just kind of glide along and keeping doing. At least it's not fun for me. I change every day. I change over time. And I want to be able to integrate those changes that I'm making in myself or that are happening in my ecosystem. And I want to adjust my thinking. I want to adjust my plan so that it continues to adapt and evolve with me. And it's just, it's okay. It's really a caution to not be too rigid. Don't think that you, once you button up a clean, crisp answer, that that's going to always be the best answer and you shouldn't make any shifts. You really do need to be much more curious and open about what's going on and then make some shifts in how you're thinking about what you want.
Let's go to two extremes. One is, let's say you're a founder of a business and you're a Vistage member. Vistage brings in great speakers and great mm-hmm. concepts, which is a great thing. Vistage has done more help for CEOs than most organizations I can think of. I had a client who was a Vistage member, and what I observed in his business was he would come back from every Vistage meeting and say to his staff, okay, here's where we're going. This is what we're going to do. I got this book. I got this great thing, and let's go do this, which was great the first time. Next month, he comes back from Vistage and said, okay, everybody, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go over this book and we're going to get this go in this direction. It was called Flavor of the Month.
Yeah. And I worked for that guy.
I think we all have.
And we all work for that guy.
That's right. That's right. It's interesting. We don't have time to delve into that, but why does that happen? That's one of the...
That's a bias called recency bias. And recency bias means the last thing I heard that maybe blew my mind a bit is now the truth. And everything else that we've thought of or decided or discovered is no longer as truthful or is no longer as energizing. And it's a real danger because... while those things can bring a new lens for us to look through and evaluate if there's a piece or a part that's missing, we have to be cautious because it doesn't mean you throw out all of those other pieces that are really important to you and that you have explored and acknowledged and valued. And yeah, I think we've all had the opportunity to work with someone whose flavor of the month just disrupts. Mm-hmm. Focus and flow. And mm-hmm. that's not strategic at all. Just because it's clever.
Right.
Just because it's new. Just because it's been successful considering it and adapting it every single time, that's not the hallmark of strategic mindset, not at all.
And, you know, when you think of a five-year plan and you execute in 90-day sprints, that's 20 90-day sprints.
Mm-hmm.
That is 19 opportunities to pull back, take what you've learned, and parlay forward to the next sprint. Like right. A quarterback does a set of downs, they go to fourth down. Quarterback comes out to the side, puts the headphones on, gets the Surface tablet, and is speaking to the offensive coordinator, who can see a bigger picture. And he says, number 48's is watching your eyes, so don't telegraph where you're throwing. Number 62 needs to be double teamed because he's overpowering the offensive defender. And so now, armed with that information, the quarterback goes back out to the next set of downs smarter than he did the first time because of the learning. That's iteration. That's how great teams iterate throughout a football team. They may not look good in the first quarter, but my goodness, they make changes and they just blow past their defender. That's iteration. That's being adaptive. That's making changes. Not, okay, all of a sudden we're going to start playing flag football. It just doesn't make sense, right? You take what you're working on and you take what you're learning and you pour it back into. Many of the listeners know about retained earnings. Mm-hmm. You know, retained earning is, why do you retain earnings? Well, you retain earnings, you pour back into the business and continue to grow. That's what being adaptive is. And you can do the same thing when you're on a fourth quarter strategy, finishing a 90-day sprint on some strategic initiative related to the big picture. You pull back and you say, well, what do I know now that I didn't know 90 days prior? And how can we parlay that information into the next one and then the next one and so on? Recency bias is all over the map. But when you have a strategy, then recency bias, I may be wrong, but tell me if I'm wrong. Recency bias then turns into opportunity. You look.
I think it certainly can. I mean, it's important to pay attention. I mean, my other message was pay attention to what's going on out there. If there's something new that's interesting, don't ignore it. You know, examine it. It's just simply don't think it is the best thing because it's the last thing. Mm-hmm. That's really what the watch out is for recency bias.
Fantastic. This has been really informative, and I trust that the listeners will be able to take these 4 points and say, how can I integrate this into my personal, not only my personal strategic plan, but maybe I've got to get some strategy done in order to get my company to thrive without me, to give me more options so I can go into my fourth quarter with greater options. Let's talk about Mary for a moment. All right. You're all about strategy. You're the creator of the Strategic Playground Workshop, and you're the chief acceleration officer of Accelerate. That's Accelerate. Why is strategy so important to you?
I am at heart, I knew this about myself early on, I'm a teacher and I'm a coach. And every role I've ever had, every project I've ever worked on, every client who ever hires me, what I do instinctively is really try to help people think systematically better. It's not about what you're learning in the moment. It's about developing the ability to think. And when you can develop the ability to think, you have what we talked about, which is agency. You've got way more options and you're in the driver's seat and you've got lifelong skills. So I am really, really passionate about helping people develop their strategic mindset. I think often we can hear that, oh, I'll be the thinker and you just be the doer. And thank you very much. And that's not how we find meaning. That's not satisfying to us as humans. And so I'm kind of on this mission to democratize strategic thinking and build this skill in everyone so that they can take a look at what they want to accomplish across the course of their career or their lives and just have a kind of a little new superpower that they can use and build the life that they want to live. So that's why this is so important to me. And it's part of every single thing I do.
What's been the reaction, the response to this topic as you've been speaking about it?
Well, I will tell you, I was flabbergasted at how exciting this topic is to people. I cared about this. I wanted to put together a talk just to say, hey, this is important, guys. You should be developing your people and your teams and yourself to be able to do this. And so I started giving this talk. Well, this talk now, I've been asked to do this about 6 times and I'm not done yet. And people are like, oh my gosh, this is the thing that I'm missing. And no one's talking about this. No one's talking about this. But when you describe all of the symptoms and you describe all of the pain points, I know now I have a name for this, which is I need to step into a strategic mindset. And, you know, that's so it's been phenomenal. And it's just so energizing to me. I could geek out about this forever. And sometimes I do. But no, it's really very, very important, especially now as we look at what AI is doing and what is our role in the world. How does that impact us? Well, the way that we think is going to be the most valuable thing that we can bring moving forward. So it's been exciting.
Well, how do you work with your clients to help them and their teams build more? Two final questions. How do you work with your clients to help them be more strategic? And secondly, where can those listening find you?
Well, I work with my clients. I either do a strategic thinking workshop for companies who want to build that in their teams. And so it's a combination of some workshop sessions and individual coaching or group coaching sessions to really exercise what you've learned and apply what you've learned. If I'm building learning strategy or I'm building learning and development programs for a particular segment for a company, I'm very transparent with how I'm doing what I'm doing and what my thinking is going into that. I have a client right now where rather than me doing all of the research and discovery, I'm engaging their team to hear what their stakeholders care about. And I'm teaching them what to listen for, why it's important. So my goal with all of that is so, you know, not only do they have a great strategy moving forward, but they know how to continually come back to a way of thinking about a problem that's going to deliver them with immense benefits. So you can come to my website. I've got a lot of cool resources and tools and quizzes and reference guides. It's all complimentary. You can do that. It's at accelerate.biz.com, and that's X-C-E-L-E-A. I can't even spell it. Thank you. Accelerate.biz.com. And I'm sure it'll be in the link and in the notes. So yeah, visit there. I've got a bunch of resources. People can check that out right away.
That is great. And I can see you lighten up people's lives because you're basically giving them back their agency or the possibility for agency.
You bet.
When the light bulb comes on, we get more excited.
Yeah.
Mary, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Scott. I've had such a fun time talking about this.
Oh man, two strategy thinking people getting in the same call.
Watch out.
It's everything out, I can do to stop this recording.
Let's use the power for good.
Okay. All right. I'll see you.
All right. Thanks.
See, I told you that would be a great episode. All about strategy. So how many of you are going to go out 4 weeks into your calendar and literally put something in that calendar to spend some time to reflect? I trust that it has been very helpful for you. This has been another episode of the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. Here are your next steps. Number one, subscribe to the show. That way you'll be notified of upcoming episodes. Number two, share this with a colleague. The show is dedicated to mature business owners who want a great company and seek a fantastic fourth quarter of life. Number three, visit servingstrong.com/pod, P-O-D, which is short for podcast, servingstrong.com/pod for more details on what to do with the episodes. And it's a place for you to dive just a little deeper on the topics that we discuss. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, may your business serve the market strong and may you personally finish strong. See, I told you that would be a great episode. All about strategy. So how many of you are going to go out 4 weeks into your calendar and literally put something in that calendar to spend some time to reflect? I trust that it has been very helpful for you. This has been another episode of the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. Here are your next steps. Number one, subscribe to the show. That way you'll be notified of upcoming episodes. Number two, share this with a colleague. The show is dedicated to mature business owners who want a great company and seek a fantastic fourth quarter of life. Number three, visit servingstrong.com/pod, P-O-D, which is short for podcast. servingstrong.com/pod for more details on what to do with the episodes. And it's a place for you to dive just a little deeper on the topics that we discuss. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, may your business serve the market strong and may you personally finish strong. This has been another episode of the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. I take your time very seriously. Therefore, my pledge is to continue bringing you information and insight you need to be successful in your adventure as you finish strong. Be sure to check the show notes for the information related in this episode. Subscribe to be notified when new shows drop and leave a review if you're so inclined. I'll talk to you next time.